important days of a man's life. One is the day he was born, and the second is the day he finds out why. There are many people in the body of Christ that have gifts of the Spirit, and many of them will never, ever discover their gift. And there are some that are in the body of Christ who gradually recognize their gift. But did you not know that there are gifts of God that inspire or encourage other gifts? There are gifts of God that God gives to people in the church that bring out the best of other people's gifts and talents. There are. And today I'm going to talk about the gift of exhortation. And the gift exhortation is that gift. The word exhortation means to express or to exalt or to persuade. If you want to break the word exhort up, ex means what? Exit or out or outward expression, outward. Hortation, I'm just going to abbreviate it, means it is an expression. So in other words, the word exhortation means that there is an outward ability of expressed words of persuasion, encouragement, and influence where others are inspired, encouraged, and determined by your interests. The gift of exhortation goes without response. The gift of exhortation can bring out the best of someone's gift or talent with a little bit of encouragement or persuasion, with a little bit of support, with a little bit of physical challenges. I'm going to show you all a picture. Now, don't show it yet, but Mitch, don't say nothing. Pastor, don't say nothing. And I know you all, men, don't y'all say nothing. Ricky, don't you say nothing. I know you. But I'm going to show you all a picture. And Bob, don't you say nothing either. Y'all tell me who this man is. Who is this man? Don't say nothing, but who is this man? Oh, but what's his name? That's not O.J. Simpson. It's not O.J. Simpson. Okay. Mitch, you go ahead and tell him who it is. You don't know? Coach Bob Shannon. He's a great example of a man who has the gift of exhortation. He has the gift. Coach Bob Shannon brought out the best of his players, and probably with a little bit of effort, he made them to be great players. Although on some occasions he had, and the pastor went to school, and some of y'all went to school with Coach Bob Shannon, so there's some players he had to tell them, brother, you just don't have it. Because he often tell his players, and I took PE with Coach Bob Shannon, and he'll tell some of his players, brother, if you don't have the heart for it, don't get on the field. Because the worst thing, the worst thing you can do is get on the field and injure yourself and hurt somebody else as well, too. He'll tell them in a minute, get off the field. Over many years, this man has been a great, he landed a great trademark for the East St. Louis area. He put East St. Louis Senior High School on the map. How can a man, and he wrote a book, how can a man take urban kids who are in a drug-infested neighborhood, who are in a bad crime area, and somehow some of these players make it to the pros? They couldn't understand this. Coach Bob Shannon had heart for the game. So he wanted his players to have the heart for the game. Do y'all know the gift of teaching aims for the head? But the gift of exhortation aims for the heart. All right. Aims for the heart. But Coach Bob Shannon often says that he wants his players to practice with heart. He wants his players to dress with heart. He wants them to lose with heart. Spirituality, the gift of exhortation, urges men to change his or her ways before they cause a lack of spiritual maturity upon themselves and others. The gift says, you can make it. You can do it. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Hold on, soldier. The gift of exhortation says, I see something in you that others don't see. I see something in you that you don't even see in your own self, that your own parents don't even see. And you're about to give birth to that thing. Though there may be times that the person who have the gift of hesitation, they may be ignored by the other person by ignoring their phone calls, ignoring their emails, ignoring text messages. But the gift of hesitation says, I'm determined to extend the hand that keeps slapping my hand down. You know the worst thing about, the bad thing about being an exhortator? Those are times where people will look at you and say, that girl does drugs. Why are you reaching out to her? He'll never be nothing in life. Why are you talking to him? It's going in one ear and out the other. Why? Because you know why? It's the gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving. That's the bad thing about being an exhortator. I just can't give up. Sometimes an exhortator may be pushy. That's the gift. Sometimes they may be talkative. That's the gift. Sometimes they be hardcore. But that's the gift. The gift keeps on giving. On my job, we have these inspirational pictures. And some of y'all have your jobs too. And, you know, we have this man in a boat, and it says encourage. And it gives a little saying. It says love, and it gives a little saying. But I was sitting in my office one day, and I happened to look up Saturday. And I looked up, and I saw this man climbing a rock. And it had achievement. And it had a little saying down there. And this is what it says. It says achievement. Unless you try to do something beyond what you already mastered, you'll never grow. I'm going to say it again. Achievement. Unless you try to do something beyond what you already mastered, you'll never grow. The gift says, I see something in you that you may not ever see now, but I'm working on it towards the future. And I want you to recognize it before you ever get lost out there. Those who have the gift of exhortation have a strong mark for goals, accomplishments, and to push for that person to do the work of God in the will of God in the perfect timing. The exhortator have a strong argument against advice. They have a strong argument to tear down walls when somebody says you can't. You can. They have a strong argument towards those that says that speaks negative. And Paul gives us an example, and he's a great example of a man who has the gift of exhortation. Paul says, when people want to give up, Paul says in Philippians 14, chapter 13, verse, I can do all things through Christ, who what? Strengthens me. Paul, talking to Timothy, saw something in Timothy and says, Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir it up. Paul says, I know that genuine faith is in you because I remember your grandmother and I remember your mother. And I know they have taught you this. It's in you. And Timothy, I would have never laid hands on you as a pastor if it wasn't in you. So he tells him to stir it up. Let's get it going, Timothy. Then he talks to the church of Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Yeah. And what he says is, don't stop. Even though you're doing it, just don't stop. The gift of exhortation gives others the opportunity to become involved in the work of Christ socially and physically and spiritually. See, God wants participants. He don't want spectators. No one is in this church is going to make you do something that you don't want to do. Those with the gift of expectation refuse to let anyone sit down on their gift. Matter of fact, if you come here not to trying to find your gift, get out the door. Because the gift of expectation will bring that gift out of you. The gift of expectation says you're lacking in something, and we need to work on that. I know you're trying to run from me, but I'm going to call you. As soon as the church is over, they run straight out the door. Don't bother me, that's what they say. Right. Don't question me. But I'm sorry, sometimes the Jehovah's Witness is probably doing the right thing by knocking on the doors. You won't come to us, we gonna come to you. Paul says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th verse, Paul says, I count not myself to apprehend. And what he's saying is, I don't have it all. But Paul says, but what I'm going to do is, I'm going to forget those things which are behind me, because I'm not going to let these things hinder me. And Paul says, I'm going to press towards the mark of the high call of God. It's a gift. The gift won't let you give up. The gift won't let you stop speaking. God wants you to do it. Because God sees something deep down inside of you that he wants to bring out to encourage you, because there's a job that needs to be done. And no one else can do it but part of you. The gift of exhortation means this individual is personally a part of someone's life as a mentor until they have reached their potential. All right. The exhorter points out to the individual their gift and get them to focus on the direction in which God wants them to go. All right. This causes the individual to recognize the gift or talent and take it personally. All right. That some I need to wake up here. Right. God wants me to do something. The gift says, once they get you to find your gift, the Holy Spirit comes along. And he is to work that ministry within you. He's going to work it. That's why the Bible says he's a counselor. He's going to stick word there to you till the end. Because it is his working, his strategies, and his gift that something special is for this ministry. I also believe that somehow, although Paul was encouraging Timothy, I think also Paul was told, when Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift, I think Paul was also telling Timothy this. I think he was telling Timothy, get rid of this slow spirit that you have. Get rid of this spirit of laziness. That's why he tells him, stir it up. Paul been gone for so long, when he left, he was actually telling Timothy, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going here, but you can get in contact with me. You can write a letter. And he did write a letter, because there was a lot of issues that were going on at the church. And I believe that somehow some of the issues that were going on in the church, Timothy probably wasn't addressing the issues. He probably was ignoring some of the issues. Probably didn't know even, I believe he didn't even know how to handle them. Until he wrote the letter. And here's what I believe. I believe the reason why Timothy probably didn't address some of the issues that was going on in the church, because I believe Timothy was waiting to hear back from his spiritual father. And he did not want to react or do something that his spiritual father didn't agree with in the first place. So he probably said, I'm going to wait when Paul writes me back. And I believe that if Paul spoke in our days, he'll probably tell Timothy, Timothy, you need to get some backbone. Timothy, you need to address some of these issues right away. You need to tell some of these women to shut up. And y'all ever told your, you ever told your wife to shut up? Never did? Mitch, you did? That's the worst thing you can do to a black woman, to tell her to shut up. Worst thing. Worst thing. But spiritual laziness, spiritual slothfulness is something that falls upon all of us Christians. It is. Because sometimes we get tired because we feel like we're not getting no help. Sometimes we feel like we're doing it all. And look, they're not doing anything at all. We get tired, we get frustrated. I'm the only one. It's only five of us here, but you got 100 people that joined the church, but only two of them showed up. You get frustrated when you see zero progress. Then we get angry, we complain, and we talk about them. And Paul encouraged Timothy, said, Timothy, don't get upset. And I believe when Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift, I believe what Paul was doing, what Paul was actually encouraging his position. He was encouraging him. Don't give up, Timothy. Pray. Paul says to Timothy, I fought a good fight. A good fight. I heard the pastor, one man said to the pastor, I don't have to go to church in order to fellowship. And what ran through my mind, and you hear most people say, oh, you don't have to go to church in order to worship God. And they're right. In one sense. But in another sense, you know what that tells me? It tells me that I don't need encouragement. I don't need nobody to tell me anything. I can't listen or learn anything else. I've obtained it all. So first of all, we talked about the gift of exhortation. And now we're going to talk about the gift of administration. Now, y'all follow me on this. I'm going to try to take my time. They gave me enough time. I got plenty of time. The gift of the gift of administration. We need people of administration. We need people who are gifted at administration. The pastor needs administrators. The ministry needs administrators. Because those who are administrative offices, they actually liberate the church. They liberate the church. Because the church does not need a lot of financial responsibility. The church needs organizers, individuals, and administrators who can make that happen. And there's nothing wrong with the church donating or giving or receiving money. There's nothing wrong, but when the church sows a seed, we need to keep back what we need. An administrator is someone who can financially, legally incorporate or organize the resources in spite of the pastor's absence. Because sometimes the pastor may appoint someone into an office, and when he's absent, he want to be confident that that person can carry out the orders. Let me show you a graph. Now follow me. Now y'all tell me which graph you like better. Let's have this as the graph A. Can everyone see this? Okay. Graph A, and it's going to be graph B. Graph A and graph B. Okay, now on graph A, let's put at the top, pastor. Okay, let's put on the corner here, administrators. I'm just going to abbreviate it. And over here, let's put people. Okay, now let's do the same over here. We have the pastor, I'm going to put a P. We put administrators, And let's put the people over here. Question. Which one of these graphs do y'all like the better? Which one do you think works or function better in the church? Graph A or graph B? Y'all say, let's see hands. How many say graph A? Nobody. Girl, you got to be kidding me. Nobody agree with me. Graph A again. Well, then I don't need to ask who graph B then, because the majority rules, right? So, okay. Follow me. Let me see this. I say graph A works the best. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Now, y'all listen, follow me. Here's the reason why. Because the people, can come to the administrators. And after they come to the administrator go to the pastor, right? Okay. I believe that the people on this end have access to the pastor and they have access to the administrators. That won't work. The reason I say that is because, and I call this, I'm gonna line it up here with this. This is graph Moses. And this is graph Jesus. Okay? The reason why this graph won't work for the church because Moses was the worst administrator in the Bible. One of the worst. The reason why I say that is because, first of all, he started off, he says to God, I stutter. I'm not the man. I'm not a leader. He tells God right off. And then guess who he gets? Okay, well then fine. I'll grab your brother Aaron and he can help you. Second thing is that they were waking up when Moses was at the mountain. They were waking up Moses at 3 o'clock in the morning. We got a problem. When he was eating, we got a problem, Moses. Come here. And his father-in-law, Jesse, saw this and said, this is not good. This is not good that they come into you all types in the morning when you're using a bathroom and wake you up at night. This is not good, Moses. You need to appoint people over offices so therefore they can handle it. And if there's a real big issue, they come to you. So therefore, Moses, the people don't need to have access to you. They need to have access to the administrators. That's why that won't work. Now, the reason why I say this will work, because look, the Bible says, no man comes to the Father except they come by me. You can't go straight to the Father. You have to go through the Son and get to the Father. Within the church, nobody has access. Everybody don't have access to the pastor. Sure, you can, how you doing, Pastor? You know, good morning, Pastor. But when it comes to problems, nobody has access to the pastor like that. Because I know a church right around the corner here, the pastor, he bought the church. Him and his wife bought the church. But guess what? He have administrators of the church. But guess what? They don't function in the church like they ought to be. What he does is he handles the administrators himself. He handles the finances himself, which I think is very wrong. Guess what? Suppose a problem happens. Let's say, for instance, somebody comes to the church and says, the pastor kicked me out of the church. Kicked me out. And then what should happen is we should say, no, wait a minute, no. The pastor didn't kick you out. What happened was is that you came to the board. And the board is on a selective individuals, a group of individuals who made a decision, who brought the pastor in on this decision and got his got him involved and got his recognition. And then he gave his input. And it is the board that actually kicked you out. It is not the pastor. So therefore, when they go out and say the pastor kicked me out, no, let's correct this, because the pastor was, he didn't have nothing at all to do with this. It was the board decision. Does it make sense? Uh-huh. an administrator of the church looks at the long term and the short term of projects and functions. Did y'all not know that? Did y'all not know that the church cannot do anything with your thoughts and with your ideas? We can't. Now, I'm going to say it again. The church cannot do anything with your thoughts and idea unless something comes into play. Somebody comes to you, you come to them, and they organize it. That's the only way it's going to function. See, we can talk all day, but if no one puts things in perspective, put it in plan, the church goes nowhere. You can have a church full of prophecy, full of wisdom, full of knowledge. But if the church, if it does not get organized, the church goes nowhere. You can have people that have the desire to do something. I want to help this. I want to start this ministry. I want to do this prison ministry. But if you don't get it organized, it goes nowhere. We're just talking. The Lord needs people. And since the Lord needs people, the Holy Spirit will equip the people to do the job. We need people that are in place to help other people get in their place. And see, the gift of ministration is very vital to the church. It is actually the life of the church. It's the very life. The gift of ministration, it actually oils the wheels. It does. The gift of ministration actually takes the squeak out of the wheels. It does. It navigates the ship. It navigates it. See, the gift of ministration are, they take authority, and they also are under authority of the pastor. See, I think this thing is bigger than what we think it is. I really do. God needs those that are a special gift, and I believe that the church has two hands. The pastor has two hands. Literally has two hands. Here's what I believe should happen. Okay, since the church has two hands, this is what I believe. Let's draw a line straight down, and let's put the pastor at the top. Okay? Let's branch off over here, and let's put the administrators over here. Okay? And let's put the people way down here. Here's what I believe should happen. I think this thing is bigger than just focusing on the church. I think what should happen in the church, I think the church should branch off and get involved in government affairs. And what I mean by that is the church should be not only solely relying on the people's tithes and offering, but if the government has programs that's set up to help, let's start a daycare program. Let's start an educational program. If the government is going to supply the money, let's take advantage of it. So therefore, the church ought to branch off and say, we want your tithes. We don't mind you tithing, but we don't want to solely depend on the tithes. We want to set aside something where the government will flood in money. Therefore, that if there is an up and down day where people give and don't give, at least we have a resource to back us up. Does it make sense? See, the government, our government has systems set up to support a failing system. They do. If I were to lose my job right now today, I can go right down to the unemployment office and collect unemployment. It is to support a failing system. Right? If people don't give their tithes and offering, guess what? We have something in the end to support a failing system. The worst thing, I preached at a church, I'm not going to say no names, but I preached at a church several times. And while I was at this church, it just seems like when I was at this church, somehow I preached and it seemed like there's a routine. They turn on the lights, sing, pray, preach, go home. Turn on the lights, sing, preach, pray, go home. It just seemed like it was just the same pattern. And the first thing that popped in my mind is that it? Is that all we're supposed to do is sing, preach, pray, go home? Sing, preach, pray, go home. Is that it? Or should there be something behind the scenes that we're saying that we're working on this to support the ministry? Instead of singing, preach, pray, go home. Is there something, y'all help me, is there something more that we should be doing? It'd be more beneficial for the church to get involved in government affairs. I think Paul was reaching toward, trying to get that point over. I lost my spot. But let me tell y'all something. You don't have to know everything. You don't. It sounds like I know everything, don't it? Okay. We got to move right along. It just sounds... But on my job, there's so much information out there. New hires come in, and they don't know everything. And then they said, and I told one guy, he said, Mike, I don't know. He always called me every 5 minutes. Mike, I don't know. I said, listen, you don't have to know everything. I said, all you need to know is your resources. That's all you need to know. The pastor, when it comes to administration, the pastor has two hands. He has the administrative teams of the church, and he has those administrative people that are working in government affairs on his right. And he may not know all those people, but at least he can say, he can call somebody on the phone and say, do you know so-and-so? This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm working on towards the foundation or the church. This is what I'm working on. I can imagine how many times my dad called me and says, Michael, this is what the church is looking for. What can you do to help? I say, well, give me about a couple of days. I'll get back with you. And I come back with some resources, some ideas for him, for the church. You don't have to know everything. Just know your resources. That's all. I would rather have someone who is in political offices, who knows real estate. The church needs to know somebody in real estate. The church needs to know somebody in political, somebody in hospitality. Know somebody and have the resources there. They need to know these different areas. So when they represent the church, instead of them saying, God said this, God this, when they talk to the politicians, that's not a good position to say when you talk to the politician. Well, God this, God this. The thing is the best thing to say when you're speaking to politicians is say, hey, this is my position on this topic. This is what I'm trying to do. When you go to them and saying, God this, your voice is never be heard. Will never be heard. Let us pray. Eternal God, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to come together, Father, to allow us to stir up the spirit that's in you, Father, so we can do the work that's called before us, Father. Let us find our gift. Let us use our gift. Let us support others of their gift and help others, Father, to find their gift. Help others, Father, that try to avoid their gift, Father, that there is a calling upon their life. Oh, Father, right now today, Father, we ask. We want to pray for our pastor. Lift him up towards you, Father. We want to pray for those who are in leadership position. Pray for them, Father. We want to pray for our soldiers in the army of the Lord, Father. Oh, Father, lift them up towards you, Father. Oh, Father, we need you today. We need you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank the Father for sending a Son. Thank the Son for sending the Spirit. Thank the Spirit for endowing us and activating our gift. To do the work, to do the will, to do the perfect great commission that you have us to do, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.